Welcome everybody to Hoops HD. This is it, the start of the 2020-2021 season. Our first of quite a few conference, in fact, 32 at the end of the day, conference preview podcasts.
Yes.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood.
The season tips off on November 25th. We are starting now. We will be on the air the entire time.
We're actually not going off the air. This podcast is going to run all the way until April.
Yes.
Okay. We got a lot to talk about.
Why not? We're quarantined anyway.
Okay. I'm your host, Chad Short. I got David Griggs and John Sleeka with me. Top here, John Titel and Joby Fortson down below us. We might have one or two others joining us through the course of the evening. They may have been running late. This, however, is the first of... I think we have 10 individual conferences we'll be doing previews for, then the other 22, what we call the under-the-radar conferences, we'll do a single podcast for at some point over the course of the next few weeks. It is, however, Monday, November 9th, and we are previewing the ACC. We've chosen that as our first conference because it has is the conference of the two-time, despite only winning it once, defending champion Virginia Cavaliers.
Still defending it.
It also starts with an A. So yeah.
Okay, we'll do it alphabetically. Yeah. Okay.
We don't know what order we're going to post these. It could be the last one that we actually post, but it is the first one we're recording. And yes, our good friend Lee Del Vecchio / Zach, late for a taping, not even a live show.
Okay. Yeah, Zach might be joining us, but either way, what we're going to be doing in these shows is going through the every. We're trying to hit on every team in each of these conferences, at least for the major conferences. Discuss where we project them, and this year is going to be unlike any other year that we've ever had before. I anticipate there's
going
a ton of games that are going to be either canceled or rescheduled. We are sitting here less than 2 weeks from the start of the season, exactly 2 weeks from the start of the season, and nobody has any idea who the heck they are playing, at least in terms of non-conference games. Conference schedules are still a total mess. Are you playing teams four times? Are you playing them two times? Are you playing both games at home? All these schedules are a complete mess, and they're still trying to get worked out. Hopefully, we'll have more information about that. But what we're going to try doing these podcasts, at least, is take a look at these teams on paper, look at the talent, look at the players they have, and see where we think they would finish, assuming we had a normal schedule, and whether or not they would fit into a field of 68, assuming we have a field of 68 this year. but we're going to start with the ACC, and Joby, you are a Virginia guy. They are the defending champions from the last time we had a champion 2.5 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever it was. So why don't we start there with UVA and what they bring back. Number four, the AP poll that was just released today, by the way.
Yeah, and yeah, I think that is an indication of Virginia's strength. We'll go through these podcasts, and there's a consensus top three, and everybody's trying to find that fourth team. Virginia has kind of popped up in most lists as that fourth team. And the reason why is the same, you know, there's consistency in the program. They are returning a bunch of minutes, three starters, but the two they lost, you know, you have Hauser coming in from Marquette, who is all of a sudden on many All-American lists. And
Sam Hauser, let's qualify which Hauser we're talking about.
Sam Hauser, he'll get a chance to focus if they actually get to that point in the Big Ten ACC Challenge to fight little brother Joey. He'll come in and add the scoring punch that was missing from Virginia, who may have had their best defensive team last year. In addition, a very solid freshman class, Beekman and Abdur Rahim. Yes, you will recognize that last name for a reason.
Sharif Saad, correct?
Yes, yes. And he will, even if he is very DeAndre Hunter-like. Now, Hunter did have a redshirt freshman season before becoming freshman of the year, but there could be a lot of similarities. You're going to see more scoring punch if those newcomers can play defense to Tony Bennett's level. And Hauser's been in the program for a year. This is a team that can challenge for a national title and is the preseason favorite at the ACC. Beekman will be very important too, because one of the weaknesses Virginia had last year offensively was Clark, Kihei Clark, had to do too much. Beekman is a top-ranked point guard coming in. Even if – and he's going to be more than just the guy who spells Clark for 10 minutes. They're going to be able to play together in the backcourt. And so Kia Clark, who brings amazing man-to-man defense, won't have to create all the offense himself, you know, and stir the drink. He will effectively from time to time, but you're going to see a very strong team. And the one bit of caution that before I quit, the one bit of caution I would say is that we saw in football, there was a cliche, defenses are ahead of the offenses. But actually, if you look at Alabama, Clemson, some of the great defensive teams in football, they, because of the lack of spring practice, the defense was not ahead of the offense. You could see some of the great defenses like Virginia, Wisconsin, because it requires so much regimen and training, not be up to their usual snuff. Assuming that's not the case, there's no reason to think Virginia isn't a candidate to cut down the nets yet again.
I think we can also go safely on a limb and say they are not going to have, I guess, as much of a trouble adjusting like they did early last year. Let's not forget they were losing at home to South Carolina, losing at home against NC State, but eventually they did start to look like a typical NCAA tournament team under Tony Bennett.
Right, and that's a good point, Stalica, because you look at what Virginia did last year. It was a step back from what they had done the year before. Is Tony Bennett on the hot seat
this year? Ty, let me bring you in here. Do you think that this Virginia team is clearly a Final Four candidate? I mean, they did lose Diakite. They did lose Braxton Key. Joe, we talked about everything they're bringing in, though.
I like all the Housers, but I don't think – I can agree to anything with the word clearly in 2020 just because there's nothing clear this year. Sure, they have a good chance, and I would not be surprised, but ain't nothing clear. I think that they could easily finish third in the conference depending on how things shake out, but they could also go like 30-1. I mean, it's there's nothing clear this year.
Well, let me ask you another question then, because beyond Virginia, the – second rated in terms of the top preseason top 25 team in the ACC, that top 25 came out today, was Duke in the AP 25, top 25, came in at number 9. And this is a team that once again is filled with a bunch of freshmen. And I guess first, let me ask two questions kind of. Number one, what do you think about this Duke team? And number two, is it even going to be tougher for a team filled with freshmen like a Duke and like Kentucky's going to do when we talk about the SEC when you don't have a preseason, when you don't have a lot of non-conference games?
I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, to be fair, the freshmen are amazing. We're talking DJ Stewart, Jeremy Roach, and many others. They obviously
Jalen Johnson, go ahead.
Ton of talent in Vernon Carey, Cassius Stanley, Trey Jones. Matthew Hurt comes back, who was a McDonald's All-American in 2019. So there's plenty of talent to put out on the floor, but they lost so much from last year that it's hard for me to think that they're going to immediately pick it up. And I think this is a season, because it's unlike any other, where if you're a senior-laden team like a Georgia Tech, which I'm sure we'll get to later, that will give you an advantage at least early on while the freshmen are still trying to catch up.
Oh, yes. Georgia Tech. Where is Zach?
well, David, since you had to pipe up here, I mean, Duke, it's a complete rebuild again. I mean, Vernon Carey's gone. Trey Jones gone. Cassius Stanley.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do in a team like Duke, especially in a year like this?
I don't want to say that there's nothing to that, but I think that they're going to be capable of playing at a really high level relatively quickly. It's certainly by the end of the year. It's not a typical year. I mean, we call it rebuilding. I don't think it's quite – it's a different kind of rebuilding because you're not bringing in the types of players that you're hoping to develop and grow and build into top caliber players. You're bringing in players that are already kind of at that level. So I kind of expect Duke to be what we've been seeing for the last, how long is 30 years, 20 years, however long it's been. I think it's going to be a very typical year.
Well, Coach K is going on his 40th year this season, so I'll put that in perspective.
But you got to keep in mind, there was a couple years there where they weren't very good, like the first two or three.
And like the year that he was
I mean, let's not get carried away here. Coach K's been there 40 years, but he's only been good for about 37 of them.
Maybe 38. But, yeah. Salik, you have any thoughts on this Duke team? I mean, is this team maybe a potential contender for a Final Four, an Elite Eight type caliber team, or do you think it takes a step back with all these freshmen again in a shortened season?
It would be hard to imagine Duke as a team that's going to be anything but a perennial contender at the very least. But when you look at...
We lose you there?
John was about... Stalika was about to make the greatest point in basketball history.
We seem to have lost Stalika. Hopefully we'll get it back in a second.
And we lost him in the middle of the...
All right. While we try to get him back, though, Joby, I want to go back to you to discuss a team that had an absolutely dreadful season last year, for which I expect a huge rebound. And probably the best thing you could say about North Carolina is they didn't have to miss the NCAA tournament any more than anybody else missed them. But Roy Williams' team.
Roy Williams' streak stays alive. I mean, it does, which is crazy. Yeah, we have a lot of asterisks in 2020. That streak is definitively an asterisk, as it were. North Carolina will rebound. They have solid talent. I like Bacot and Kessler in the middle. Yeah, Brooks. I think everybody's trying to promote Brooks as like this ACC, all ACC caliber player.
He had 17 points a game last year. Come on.
Because no one else besides Cole Anthony could score on that team.
Okay.
He's not elite. He's good. But he's not elite. For instance, I don't even think he'd start for Virginia. I use the example, as a comparison. He's a good player. But North Carolina is not the North Carolina of national championships this year. I'll be very surprised if Roy doesn't continue his streak. But, I will be surprised also if they are a protected seed at this point.
What about the fact that Anthony Harris now healthy? Doesn't that help?
Yes, and I actually think he'll be a very key component to stir the drink. Caleb Love also will be able to give good contributions. This is a solid team. It's not the teams that you think of when you think of North Carolina national title, Final Four type level. It's just not. I think there are, I think they'll get their wins and they'll get their losses, but it's not going to wow you. And they'll do their typical North Carolina thing which is lose all the games out of conference and beat teams in conference to destroy everybody else's power ratings. So that's left to be said.
Well, Tytel, do you agree with him? I mean, North Carolina preseason is ranked number 16. That means they're a Sweet 16 caliber team in theory. Do you disagree with Joby, or do you agree with him that they are, an NCAA tournament caliber team, but maybe nothing special?
I'll agree with him that, Virginia should do better than them in March, but when you bring in four McDonald's All-Americans and Dayron Sharpe, Walker Kessler, Caleb Love, and R.J. Davis, and you add them to a guy who – he might not start for Virginia, even though he led the ACC with almost 19 points a game in conference play, Garrison Brooks. Come on, Joby. He could start for anybody in the country.
Thank you, Tytel. I'm with you, Tytel. I like this Carolina team.
I mean, Brooks is really – he was a one-trick pony. No.
I like this Carolina team. I think I like them better than Duke because of all the questions with all the freshmen in a shortened season. But I think we have Stalika back. Are you back, Stalika, first of all?
I think I'm back.
All right, you're thinking back. Well, Stiga, let me ask you about the defending ACC champion, Florida State Seminoles, coming at number 21 in the preseason rankings in the AP poll. Honestly, I believe that that's overrated, but
– You think they're overrated?
I think they're overrated. I don't like this Florida State team much more than as being a tournament-caliber team, but not much more. But, Stiga, what are your thoughts on Florida State?
Well, they've had to replace a couple guys like Trent Forrest, but they're still going to have a decent core.
And Vassell and Patrick Williams, the ACC Sixth Man of the Year, but go ahead.
You'll still have MJ Walker. You'll have Malik Osborne. You'll have Raekwon Gray returning, but you're not going to have much else beyond that. I mean, we've made fun of Leonard Hamilton in recent years, but starting in 2018, he's actually started to reverse that trend as far as a postseason success goes. Because if you look at the last 3 years, they had Elite Eight, Sweet 16, and as you noted, an ACC regular season title.
David?
Well, the other thing, they have two guys that were, well, this is a program that likes 6'11", 7-foot guys more than anyone else I know, and they got a couple more coming in, a couple of, you know, guys that were really strong JUCO players. So it wouldn't shock me if this is, again, another protected seed. It just seems like every year, at least in the last few years, no one is really big on Florida State. No one talks about them, and then they exceed expectations. Of all the teams that kind of got screwed last year, this Florida State team was going to be a one seed. I think that they were at least on that trajectory. They could have been a serious Final Four contender. They were a Final Four contender had they gotten the chance to contend for it anyway. And again, the one thing that's shaky, I think they're a little bit inexperienced at the point guard position. But everywhere else, I think they're going to be, again, very good and a lot better than what people are expecting.
You're relying on a freshman, Scotty Barnes, a Canadian player, and Tanner Nagam, 7 feet, but, you know, big guy. But don't you need a point guard, too, especially in the
ACC? Need a point guard, yeah. And like, come on. Well, I don't know. Florida State, I mean, if there's any 7-foot point guards out there, I think that Florida State would want to sign them. But I guess I've just been – it's just one of those teams that year after year after year, I don't they just sort of explode onto the scene much more than what I was expecting. And I'm starting to believe in them now more than everybody else. It's like – now I'm kind of blanking. What's another team that always exceeds their preseason expectations? I would say Virginia, but that Texas Tech is another one. Yeah. Like every year, they're way, way, way better than what people think they're going to be.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Boston College exceeds their expectations because we don't have expectations.
Yeah, well, true. Boston College.
If they finish in 14th place out of 15 teams, it's exceeding.
Yeah.
But Ty, let me ask you about another team that might be good by the end of the year, but they've already been hit by injuries already. And that's the Louisville Cardinals. We just heard today that Charles Minland is going to be out probably until at least the end of this year. Malik Williams probably won't play until February. But there's even once they get them back, is this Louisville team an NCAA tournament caliber team, or could they be in a lot of trouble now because of getting Chris Mack's team being hit by injuries?
I'll go with medium trouble. I mean, it's one thing when you lose Jordan Awara as a possible first-round pick. You graduate Stephen Enoch and Lamar Fresh Kimball, and lose Dwayne and Ryan McMahon. They lost a ton of guys last year. So to have injuries, it's going to be a steep uphill battle. And they just couldn't afford to have injuries when you have all this talent going out the door to graduation. So I think they're going to have some big medium problems. I don't know about large trouble, but medium trouble.
Yeah, I mean, Joby, they're going to be relying on the former Big South Player of the Year, Carly Jones, but this isn't the Big South. This is the ACC. This is the ACC, though, not the Big South. Come on.
No, but Jones is an ACC caliber player, yeah. But the problem they'll have is this particular year, unless everything gets delayed to where the guys will be back by the time we actually get playing. The problem is I talked about the defense not gelling for Virginia as a risk and all this stuff. They don't have the ability to get to know each other at all. They entered the year, despite all the graduations, with a decent amount of depth, I feel like, of quality. But the quality need to play together and learn to play together. They're not going to have that opportunity. I don't want to be playing them in March in the ACC tournament when they're like a 10 seed. because they're pretty darn dangerous, but I worry for them. I very much, this could be a team that could really fall apart until they get all the pieces going in the same direction. And this year, with only 27 games, you're going to hit 20 ACC games. That's a tall order, plus a Big Ten challenge for sure.
Plus Kentucky.
And Kentucky.
Yeah, if you missed that, one of the greatest moments in Twitter history. Yeah, but Chris Mack accommodating John Calipari.
Yeah, but Stolica, let me bring you back in here, though. I mean, you're a Xavier guy. I think you know Chris Mack a little bit. Can he get through this non-conference schedule and maybe pick up enough games to solidify before he gets to the ACC play with the injuries?
Well, normally I would probably say he would take a piece of his Xavier education. It's like, we'll pick up a couple of graduate transfers, but if one of them is going to be injured, that's going to throw at least part of that plan out the window. I wish Rocco were here where he could at least tell us about Carleek Jones and his time at San Francisco, but the only other returning players of note are going to be Malik Williams and Samuel Williamson. That's going to be a bit of a drop.
I like David Johnson also, but let's David, let me go to you here because we did a podcast about a month ago, and you and Zach, who couldn't make it yet tonight out of the podcast, spent the entire podcast making fun of Georgia Tech this season.
Yes.
And I, quite frankly, started putting my foot down right then, and I'm going to continue to put my foot down, that despite the fact that I have not been a Josh Pastner fan at all over the years, I think this Georgia Tech team is an NCAA tournament caliber team this year. Are you on the Yellow Jacket bandwagon with me?
No, I don't think that they're going to. It's just not going to happen. I don't think. I don't know. Well, I'll say this. I can see how someone could get to that conclusion. Like, what do they have? 3 or 4 starters back, and experience. I think, especially early on, alluding to a lot of the things that you said, is going to be somewhat of a factor. Josh Pastner, I actually think I like him a little more than you do as a coach, but like, I just can't get there thinking that they're going to get into the NCAA tournament.
Well, let me find somebody who'll agree with me. Tytel, how about you? I mean, you've got Michael DeVoe, Jose Alvarado, Moses Wright, Jordan Usher. This is a team that finished in 5th place last year in the ACC, 11-9.
And they finished strong. They beat Louisville. They swept Clemson. I mean, this team and the fact that they're going to be so experienced this year, as a guy who loves Pastner, a fellow Wildcat, like, I'm a little biased. They can make the NCAA tourney. If they do, I think it's going to be because of the experience, because their offense was shaky last year. The defense was solid, which is good because you can coach. You can coach defense, but it's good if you already have it there. They'll guard the 3-point line as good as anybody in the country, but he's going to need that experience if he hopes to win 20 games.
Well, Joby, let's go beyond these teams that we've already discussed. I think we're going to be debating Georgia Tech maybe all season. I know you wanted to talk a little bit about Jim Larrañaga's team, though.
I think they are a tournament team. I'm just going to lay it out there. They're very impressive. They have a lot of pieces back. Maybe I like small point guards like Chris, like K.A. Clark. Chris likes his stud. He is an explosive spark plug that is able to light up things. As well as McGusty can provide that punch on the inside that punch on the outside with Timberlake and Wardenburg. This is a deep team. And Larrañaga knows
they are deep.
Coach. And this is the sort of
– Sam Wardenburg is out for the season. He's injured.
Oh, well, there you go. One less But the fact of the matter is this team has the leadership coming back, a structure coming back that I think is exactly right for these times, so to speak. And so they don't need to learn. You got your point guard who knows everybody on the team and likes. This is going to be a dangerous team that will be dancing come March, and is also the type of team you wouldn't want to play in the first round in that 7-10 game or wherever they might find
it. I would love that. It would mean my team was in the tournament in the 7-10 game.
Tytel, I know you have some thoughts on Miami as well.
Yeah, the injury to Wardenburg is going to be very tough because he wasn't a star player, but he's 6'10 and a returning vet. The fact that Elijah Olanii, I believe, has to sit out a year rather than come right in is going to be tough. I like Nysir Brooks, the Cincinnati transfer, nice 7-foot size in the middle. Love Chris Likes, even though he's shorter than all of us.
5'7".
Serenaga, he keeps on trucking. He'll have his team competitive. I just wish they had, like, one more piece. I think they're a piece away.
And I agree with you. I think the Wartenberg injury is kind of what has me right on the bubble with this team, as opposed to agreeing with Joby that they are a tournament team. Let's go through a few other teams, though. Stalica, let me ask you, is there an NCAA tournament team that you see in this ACC that we have not yet discussed?
I don't know if I would necessarily call them an NCAA tournament team, but I think a team like either Clemson or NC State could come out of the weeds to possibly sneak into the field. Let's not forget, the Clemson Tigers, while North Carolina was having a rare offseason, they actually went into Chapel Hill for the first time in program in history and won.
Yeah, a North Carolina team that lost to everybody, though. David, what about this Clemson team? You know, it's tough. They were 16-15 overall last year. Tevin Mack is gone. I'm having trouble seeing them get better, though.
Yeah, Mack is gone. I do think they're going to be better. I don't think that they're going to be quite NCAA tournament good, but I think that they have a system that seems to develop players. And with four starters back, I think that with that experience, they're at least going to be as good, probably a little bit better. There's one team that another team that I'm curious about that. Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm Syracuse. Again, like. You know, four starters back there too. Experience being a big thing. How do we feel about the Orange this year?
Well, Joby,
at least it's a tournament team.
Joby, I know you had some thoughts about them.
Hey, losing Elijah Hughes is real. I mean he was the go to scorer that allowed someone like Buddy Boeheim, who is, despite having the last name Boeheim, he is a real player. Don't just. Yeah, everybody goes, ah, oh, ha, 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 buddy, Boeheim. No, this kid can nail shots like it's going out of style. But you need someone to take the pressure off so he can have that shot. But I think Syracuse has the pieces, especially on the outside, and you know they're going to run that zone. You know it's going to be consistent. You know defensively. And they actually were weaker than normal last year. If Boeheim can get back to running that 2-3 zone in an effective manner and getting those outside shots from his son and other places like Girard, then they have a real shot at the tournament. The ACC, because I am not as big a believer below Virginia of those next teams, I think they're all tournament teams like North Carolina, Duke, et cetera.
Yeah.
I think that's going to give opportunities for the Georgia Techs, the Syracuse, types to get wins against tournament teams, which helps and lifts all boats. I think the ACC.
I'll tell you, in Syracuse's favor, you got to think about Alan Griffin, a transfer from Illinois, coming in as well this season, who I do like, but I've got questions down low. I mean, they got Dolzage, I think I pronounced his right name correctly. There's not much more down low, and that's my problem. That's why I think they're a big. I'd have them squarely on the bubble heading into the season. Which is where Syracuse always is. So hey.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say.
They are. Syracuse, I think, will find their way in a first four game.
If that happens, say they get inside the first four, like they just make it, they're on the 10 line, they're on 11 line. I mean, you got to like their chances of at least getting there and then going to the final four.
Tytel, let me bring you back in and ask about another team. How about the Fighting Irish? We know about their football team. They had a little problem with social distancing over the weekend, but what about their basketball team?
I don't like it. I think the cupboard is a little bare. Nice junior class in the backcourt with Prentice Hub and Dane Goodwin. Other than that, I think Mike Bray is going to be hurting this year for some talent.
Okay, so you don't like Notre Dame so much. Is there another team that you do actually like that we haven't discussed yet? Be the team like maybe an NC State or something like that?
Similar talent problems, I think, for Kevin Keats. He lost a lot of guys from last year to this year. I don't think we have any gaping holes in this conference. I think we've mentioned everybody who has a shot.
Well, Joby, let me mention NC State again. I mean, Braxton Beverly, Devon Daniels, like they got a pretty good backcourt.
Funderburk, they actually do return a good core.
I thought they did.
Gone on that. I think NC State, once again, are they going to schedule somebody?
This year you don't have to.
You don't, but half the teams are going to play conference only schedule, so you have to think about that.
And that's what has killed them in the past. If they show their ability to beat teams that are in the tournament, which I think the ACC middle strength will be better than it, like for instance, definitely better than last year. I think that will give NC State those opportunities. And I actually like them more. I know people have like the Georgia Techs in front of them, et cetera. I actually like them slightly more than that. And I think they're better than Clemson. I think they're clearly better than Clemson. They're better than, as Tytel pointed out, Notre Dame. But the fact of the matter is, it's a shame from an ACC fan perspective that we don't get the out-of-conference fully, because I think this conference is the just pure depth until we get to like the Wake Forest is actually stronger than it's been in a very long time on the bottom half of the conference. So the middle and the bottom half are stronger besides Wake. And Wake's off.
This is Talika. Let me ask you a question here. If COVID had not hit and there had not been a pandemic, Jim Christian would probably be looking for a job right now. Instead, he is back with Boston College for yet another season and brought in a ton of transfers out of the Metro Atlantic, Quinnipiac, Ryder, and like, can this Boston College team actually, you know, come close to, you know, maybe I'm not saying contend for an NCAA tournament bid, but, you know, be a better than 500 type of team?
Well, there were a couple years ago, I think, when they had Ty Bowman, you probably could have made the argument they would have been close to then, but I don't see that situation improving anytime soon. I mean, we look at a team like Virginia Tech, they look like they might be a surprise at the beginning of last year when they won at Clemson and also surprised Michigan State in the Maui Invitational, but like 80-degree days in November, they fell off the face of the earth rather quickly.
Yeah, I got to say, on the Boston College front, Winston Tabbs could be a key. I mean, assuming he's healthy and back this year, I think that they're going to be better. But Virginia Tech, David, you know, this team, again, I think we liked Mike Young heading in. I think he kind of kind of overperformed last year, but I still don't think this team is ready yet to contend.
Not yet. I think their long-term outlook is pretty good. I just don't think that this year it's going to happen. But yet, Mike Young is a phenomenal coach. He'll get them maybe not back to – you know, maybe not a perennial top 25 team, but a perennial tournament team, I think.
Yeah. Tytel, we've got a couple teams left to discuss. How about Jeff Capel's squad out in Pitt? Is, you know, 16-17 last year. Xavier Johnson's there. Justin Champagne should be close to a double-double type of threat. Is there any chance that they – Champagne, sorry.
Champagne for everyone. No, I think that he's at least a year away. He's got a nice sophomore and junior class, not a lot of seniors. And unfortunately, I think they have the worst Champagne, as I like Julian at St. John's more. But hopefully they'll be at least competitive.
Joby, Wake Forest finished tied for last place last year. Everybody, Childress is gone. Sarah's gone. Brown is gone. Steve Forbes coming in as head coach, new head coach. You know, is it?
Where's he from?
East Tennessee State.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's good hire.
It's a real good hire.
I think he'll be able to build locally initially. Those players that don't go to the North Carolinas and even maybe the NC States, but he'll be able to find good players that will fit his system. Good luck trying to create a new system right now. Wake is really staring 1-2 wins in the conference precisely because a team like Pitt is not bad. They're at the bottom half of the conference, bottom end of the conference, but they're not bad. Wake's bad. And so they're going to have trouble winning games even against the normally in a season. Oh, there's also BC. They suck. And yeah, you know, so no, BC isn't going to stink. They're going to maybe finish 14th, but it'll be the best 14th place team in the country.
I think what you're getting at here, Joby, 15th, is that
15th, Joby, 15th.
No, Wake is finishing
15th. No, BC will finish 14th, but be like gaps.
Okay.
Yeah. Wake is clearly the only Stallings Award winning candidate in this league. Is that correct?
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Hey, come on. Ian DeBose, he led the Southland in scoring last year. Come on. No, I guess I'm going nowhere with that.
He might lead Wake in scoring this year.
He will lead Wake in scoring this year. I have no doubt that's not going to help much, though. But let me run through each of you now. I think we've according to my notes here, at least we've covered all 15 teams. But I want to ask each of you, I guess, kind of three questions. Number one, who's going to win the ACC regular season title, assuming that we actually get a full season in. Let's assume that for now. Number two, how many teams do we get from this conference? And number three, do you have any other thoughts about the league as we wrap the show up? And Salika, let me start with you on those kind of three questions.
I would probably say the only teams I'm fairly certain are going to get into the tournament are going to be Duke, Virginia, North Carolina. I can't see the Tar Heels having a second consecutive subpar season. I'm probably going to guess there are going to be at least 3 to 4 other teams that probably end up getting tournament bids, although I couldn't tell you with any fair degree of certainty. But on another note, I can also say, at least in our neck of the woods, the ACC network is up and running, not behind a paywall, but just part of your regular sports package.
Oh, that's great.
Well, good luck for you. I still don't have it, but that's another story.
yes, you do.
This Joby, how about you? Who do you think wins it? And how many bids? And
Virginia, yeah, you heard me already say I do think UVA wins it. I think it actually be a gap this year.
I agree.
Between first and second. But because of that, all those wins collected by those NC State, Syracuse, Georgia Tech types will lead to 8 bids. It'll be more bids this year because of the strength, assuming we have enough of an out-of-conference schedule to allow, you know, a – Pitt to get wins out of conference that you wouldn't expect, that sort of thing to strengthen the conference. Assuming that happens, 8 bids.
Well, I think at the end of the day, you're going to be seeing the tournament selection committee acting more like the football selection committee does and just saying who the best teams are, regardless of some metrics, because we may not have metrics that matter too much when we don't have the non-conference play. We'll probably be discussing that all season, honestly.
If you get 500 in the ACC, if you get to 500, I think you're going to get a bid this year.
Not if I can help.
But the problem is, you know, that's only half the teams on average. The problem is you don't have those MEAC teams on your schedule to all of a sudden, instead of being 10-10, if you threw a bunch of MEACs looking at UNC State, you're 17-10. You're not going to be 17-10.
Hasn't helped NC State, by the way.
they're actually 20-12 last year. Hey.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing.
Without an ACC tournament.
All of a sudden, a 10-10 team, you know, with a few wins and you're playing the Big Ten where you could get some losses. We'll talk about this a lot, but you're going to see interesting bids. I mean, Virginia, they've scheduled 3 of their 7 out of conference games, and it's Michigan State, Villanova, Florida. Assuming those games go off, that's pretty tough. I think it'll be indicative of what you see because major conference teams trust other major conferences to have the protocols in place.
Virginia is aware that we don't have secret scrimmages this year, right?
Yeah.
That's why Villanova is an actual real game.
They might have a few anyhow, just for the heck of it. Ty, let me go through the same question, though. Who wins it? How many teams get in and, you know, how many bids? And, get any other thoughts yet on the conference?
Since we don't know how good the Duke and Carolina freshmen are, I'll give it to Joby and say Virginia is the favorite as of today. I will set the over-under on bid at 8.5, and I will take the under. I don't think this is like a 10-bid league. I'm thinking 7 or 8. And my fun fact is actually trivia. Which ACC school has the longest active winning streak in Division I for all teams in terms of winning seasons in a row?
Florida State?
Nope.
Is it Duke? I would imagine.
It's not. It is Syracuse with 51 straight winning seasons.
Wow.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Claudette really screwed up that whole thing.
I knew it wasn't Carolina after that last year, at least. David, I'm kind of agreeing exactly with Tytel. I think we're looking at under 7 or 8 bids. I think that we're looking at Virginia clearly winning this, but let me let you finish the show off here.
Yeah, Virginia is my pick for all the reasons that have already been said. And I would go with 7 in a normal year, but then again, I don't know how it's going to play out, what's going to be valued as far as picking the teams. Are there going to be enough out-of-conference games for the metrics to be reliable? And even if there are, like, I just don't know. It's not going to be a typical year. And you have to – we say this every year. We beat it to death every year. But, like, at some point you have to win a game that's going to impress the committee. And just about, like, when you look at the 48 teams that are inside the bubble, 44 of them will have won an out-of-conference game against someone else that's in that field. How is that? That's normally like one of the check boxes, isn't it? Like, did you beat somebody away from home? Did you beat somebody out of conference? And
to throw that away this year, though. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to throw that away this year. And like, so is there like, I just, you can't really predict like how the season's going to play out. And teams that may have had those one or two out of conference wins that impressed the committee may not get them. And you can't, every time you play, somebody's going to lose. Is it going to be enough to get seven or eight teams in?
Yeah, I agree with you. What I will say, though, I really do think we'll look at seven or eight teams. And I got to say, Georgia Tech's going to be one of them, regardless of what you think, David. But on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us for our ACC preview. We will have coming up probably tomorrow, from when you guys are watching this, we'll be posting our Big East preview. We're going to be recording that in about 10 minutes here. We have a lot more previews to come. So keep paying attention, stay tuned, but thank you for joining us. And if I could find a way to end this podcast, I will say goodbye. If not, then we're just going to keep recording until I figure out how to do it. All right. Have a good night, everybody.